Intervju Radija Študent.
Pozdravljeni v intervju Radija Študent. Z vami bova Mario B. in dr. Eugene Chadburn.
Hello.
Hello. It's been quite some time. You are not being to Slovenia. I remember times when you used to play once a year. What's going on? It's a recession. You are too old enough to all this
Now,
shit.
Wait a minute, though. But I haven't been in Ljubljana in 5 years, but I've been in Slovenia.
Okay.
When I was at
Cerkno Festival, yes.
Cerkno Festival.
I was there.
Was just a few years ago, I think.
Okay. I just understood something.
No, but I was surprised when they told me it had been 5 years. There's no recession in the music business. Uh-huh. It's already on the bottom. No, there's just lots of places to travel, and yeah. Sometimes I don't get back somewhere as fast as I want.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I would like to start with a bit of maybe ridiculous and maybe tragic event that just recently happened. Our friend Miha Zadnikar posted this news at the Facebook. Mm-hmm. So at a festival in Spain, one listener called the police because the music of Larry Ox wasn't jazz enough.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the policeman came, you know, armed and mm-hmm. all, and he listened a bit to this music, and he said that listener got the point, and listener wants to sue the organizer and so on. So I'm just wondering. We know this story, you know, jazz, not jazz, but I would like to hear your comment, and maybe that because Larry Ox said I thought that I've seen anything, but this is something totally new. So I would like to hear your comment on this.
I was just told this story today, and yeah. My first reaction was that, oh, Larry Ox must be trying to promote himself, because everybody would love to have this happen. I would love to have the police interrogate me because they thought my music was too weird. This is the best kind of publicity you could ever have. Yeah. I don't understand why it took so long for or why the police would even bother.
Yeah.
In Spain. But it reminds me of a story I heard about, you know, this rock guy, Gigi Allen.
Yeah.
Some people at one of his shows were so upset because they said some of the things he was doing on stage, he was taking his pants down and he was mm-hmm. going to the bathroom on stage. And they went and they got the police to go to the hotel where he was staying. And when the police got there, Gigi Allen was in the bathtub. And they talked to the guys playing with him, and the attitude of the police was they couldn't believe anybody would actually do anything like this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they thought the guy was making it up, and they told him to go away and quit bothering.
Yeah.
So what ended up happening is he wasn't arrested.
Mm-hmm.
He was arrested for what?
No.
They just talked to him.
Yeah, they just talked to him, and this listener said that he's going to sue the organizer, and he wants his money back because, you know,
they should just give him his money back and shut him up. Larry Ox is too much like jazz. What for me? I mean, what's anyway?
Yeah.
Oh well, so, that's a very strange story. And where did this happen in Spain?
I'm not sure where.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But it was just, you know, all across the news today, yesterday.
That's very funny.
Did you have some like this some fun event?
Well, we used to go play in country and western bars, and some of these places, the great thing about them is, artists are they're always looking for a lack of control somewhere. That's very important. Like, that's why I left New York City. There was too much control over what people were doing.
Mm-hmm.
But in some parts of the USA, you could find a place where you could call them on the phone and say, I have a country band, and they would put you on the calendar. They wouldn't even listen to what you did.
Mm-hmm.
So, half the people were really upset. And this isn't country music. What is this? But the other half really liked it. So there was something really great about doing it because it created a lot of new fans.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure, you know, since it's some of these labels, like you could say the same thing about rock and roll.
Yeah,
somebody could say it's a rock festival, and they're going to hear something that sounds like the Rolling Stones, and then they Metallica is on stage or something. It might be too much for them, you know. Yeah, I mean, in jazz, I mean, this has been going on for a long time.
Maybe from the beginning.
Well, it's funny. If you listen to some swing or bebop and then you listen to Roscoe Mitchell solo or something, you would think, well, how can you even call this the same style of music? It's insane, you know. But this, you know, this term has been...
It's just, it's just people's mind. Because also we say man and woman, but, and we are, you know, 6 billion of very different entities. Yeah. Actually, I wanted to ask you later about this reaction on you playing the country and Western music to those audience, but you already told us. So I'm wondering...
Nobody ever tried to sue, though.
Ah, okay. No. What about some great stars that you made some cover of? No?
Well, one guy was heard talking about this on the radio.
Yeah.
Roger Miller, before he died.
Uh-huh.
They were talking to him about all the cover versions of his song, and he said, yeah, there's one guy out there, I don't know what the hell he's doing. So that had to be me. But no, I've tried to send some of these things to people, but I don't even think they've even heard them. So,
Maybe they were too afraid, you know.
Mm, could be.
When you start to combine jazz improvised music with country and western, with old protest songs and also with some alternative rock and punk music, new wave music, what was actually your purpose? Did you want to mix those audiences, as actually happened, to open some people's minds?
Well, the main purpose of all of these things is personal. I never think about the audience.
Yeah, that's great.
It was something that I wanted to do, and I don't really know why. It's too long ago to remember why, or maybe I never knew why. But they were just types of music I liked, and I thought, well, why not play them together? And then the way people reacted kind of got me very excited, because one of the things with this avant-garde music, or you go to certain places, it's like everyone's heard everything. They've seen, you know, people tearing apart raw meat on stage. They've seen everything. So this was something they hadn't seen yet, and they were reacting in quite a strong way. Like, some people really liked it, and other people were really angry that I was doing this. So that was something that I found kind of stimulating. I like controversy. I always find if people are really upset with music, it's usually a sign that it's pretty good.
Yeah.
At least it's different.
I agree. I just read one recent interview with you, and where you stated that you are not going to perform covers anymore, that you got enough of it, and that you are going to, you know, concentrate on your own work.
And yeah, well, I mean, it's not like a black and white. I'm still doing a few covers, but the majority of what I play now are my original songs.
And you're also planning to publish as much as I understand.
I'm trying to get some books of this stuff out. Yeah.
What about some collection of records, like some, you know, best of, let's say, or something? Because you got a huge amount of self-made records, cassettes, and also we can find your stuff at some different labels, and it's really very hard. I don't know if any of collector has everything from you.
Well, there's a few people that claim to, but
yeah. Do you?
No, I mean, I'd like to. I have a problem. Sometimes people come in my house and steal things. So I pull down a record and the record's missing. So I don't know. I don't. And also, I've played on some people's records that they never even sent me a copy. So I don't have a complete collection of everything I've ever done. I don't really want one. I'm trying to figure out now, in this period, what to do about recording, because for a while, it was like the CD was kind of the standard for everything, now that's kind of slipping, and vinyl is coming back, and the CD's not gone completely, but people are experimenting with a lot of different things. I still like to make some kind of object that I can decorate and kind of control, that say, this is the complete recording. To me, just putting stuff on the internet for people to download is kind of silly. It's already, you could already... for free, probably download about, you know, 9 years worth of my music from the internet. So I don't really feel like I have to do that. I'm thinking about some different types of formats, like a series of little memory sticks that have a lot of music on them. But I'm not really sure what to do. There's all this material from the past. For someone to collect it all is a very big job. Each time I see someone younger coming and looking at it all, let's say you're 20 years old now and you want to collect everything I've done, well, it's a lot more of the stuff than it was 15 years ago. So, so I'm starting to think of ways some of the stuff from the past could be re-released in a way that's more economic. I don't know. It's hard.
That was actually another question I wanted to ask you, because you're doing this do-it-yourself records from a long time ago, and it seems like you predicted this breakdown of music industry. Just as you said, it's more important to have something really unique from a specific musician than to have just a file which can be, you know, easily erased or, you know, lost in the system or whatever. So do you think maybe that this is something that other musicians should try to do real objects of art? Or,
well, not everyone likes to do it. That's the thing. I happen to like making things with my hands. I've always liked that. Even before I started doing music, I used to put out my own newspapers when I was a little boy, and I remember we made a newspaper with this little type of press where you had to print each letter of the words. I was always, it didn't matter how long something took, if I at the end of it I had a little edition of something, I was thrilled. So there's a lot of people that don't want to have anything to do with that. They just want to play music. They don't even like to sit and sell their stuff after a concert. They'd rather go to the bar or something.
So, as you said jokingly at the start of this interview, actually you don't think that music industry is in recession, is on the bottom. So is there any help?
Well, I mean, I'm not really even joking about that, because I know, recession goes on, these people are complaining to me about this business and that business, and they're going, what about you? And I've been going along just the same. It's really not much effect on me. I think it's kind of funny. I can't be downsized.
I saw many of your performances, be it with the band and mostly solo, and every time it was different, sometimes totally different. And so I'm wondering, do you have some concept in your head, concrete, let's say, namely for this tonight show at Gromka, or you just improvise, or you see the audience, you see the place, and you as on a whim?
There's a lot of I don't really plan very much until the concert itself.
You don't have playlists, for example?
No. I usually when I'm getting ready to start, I sometimes think I sometimes know how I'm going to start, and maybe the second one, but after that it kind of. I sometimes end the same way. There's certain things I play at the end of the concert. For tonight, I don't know. I think maybe I need to come up with a new sad ballad about the disappearance of the Talar.
Oh, maybe. And you should wear this Radio Student T-shirt, which we...
That I might do that.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I forgot about this. Whenever I go on a trip, I go through all this money I have at home to see if I have money from some country. And these nice little coins, what they have, the little birds on them or something. Yeah. And then I found this bill, 1,000 talar. And I thought, well, I kept this. So if I kept it, it can't be worth that much money, but if I didn't change it. So then the other day I thought, I wonder what that's worth when I get to Ljubljana, what I can do with 1,000 talar. I looked it up. It said, well, it was $6.26 or something, and it said, note, this currency is obsolete.
Yeah.
So then I remembered, oh, now you're with the euro. So.
Yeah, but you can still change dollars in National Bank.
Really? I can go get 3 euro for it, maybe.
Yeah, even the small change until 2016, I think, and the banknotes from today till infinity, I think. So, you know.
Well, that, you know,
I don't know where.
One thing I thought was interesting, like in France when the euro came in, for a long time it was just too big a project to change all the machines that used coins. And I think 2 years after they had the euro, I was in a recording studio. And we were getting coffee, and the guy says, oh, the coffee machine only takes francs. And they were keeping this supply of coins. And then they would empty it out and use it again. Mm-hmm. That's how they kept the coffee machine running. And then they had this weird thing in Holland, like at the flea market. And I don't think they're still doing it, but they were people taking guilders after the euro, selling things. And they had a sort of a black market economy going with the guilders that way. So maybe there's some hope for the Tolar.
Maybe. Well, I think maybe the similar story like that of Larry Oxand, this misunderstanding what jazz is and what jazz not, because people like to have things, you know, in pigeonhole, in standards, in names and whatever. So let's go back to your music and your tonight concert at
the Gromka.
Gromka, yes. How do you prepare yourself for this kind of concert? And another sub question. How do you learn to improvise when you're doing it just for your own? Do you have some, you know, like notes, like ideas to follow, and then you remember them? Or improvisation is just every time totally different, so you actually don't know what's going to happen?
Improvisation is a combination of, I think for most people, would agree, it's a combination of surprising yourself with something, usually some kind of mistake that sounds good, or things you've learned how to play, and you organize them differently. I mean, you might play something you've played before, but the timing can be different. So it's not always just about the way it sounds. It's the timing, the context, improvising with a song you've already written. Some people say, what's improvised? Is the text improvised? Well, the text isn't really improvised, although I improvise with it. I might change the way I sing something. That's why I like to perform, so I can work on the music.
So you get some new ideas, actually.
You get new ideas, especially,
but
you might sing, you might
not when you're playing alone.
No, at a performance. Yeah, I mean, you might sing something one way one night, and it gets a really strong reaction, and you know, oh, I've done it right this time. There's something about the timing is really important. So these are all things you can only work on in a performance, and you can only work on them if you're improvising. If you do something the same every night, there's no chance to make any kind of improvement with it or anything.
Okay, I think that you told us quite some.
Well, I hope so. I hope people still will come to the concert even after listening to that.
Wow. I guess even more. It's a pity we don't have a TV broadcast, because they would see us and say.
And then they would really want to come down.
So thank you, Eugene, and we look forward to your tonight play at Gromka. I hope that would be really inspiring from our side and from your side too.
Dobro.
Hvala torej Eugenu Chadburnu za tale pogovor, kratek in nabit, što si z informacijami, tako kot je navada pri njem. Zvečer ob 9 v klubu Gromka, Eugene Chadburn, znova v Ljubljani. Z vami sem bil Mario B. in kajpak dr. Eugene Chadburn. Živjo!
Intervju Radija Študent.